Oh my God, can you believe it? It's the year 2024. It's Melbourne Comedy Festival, and we've just moved venues. We're at the Grace Darling now. We had a great run at the Chinese Museum, selling out shows by the end, but now we need you to come over to the Grace Darling, and shows are at 7:15. It's going to be so much fun. I'd love to see you there. Let's have a beer. Use discount code DOGOON. The show's called Dry at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Then we're going to Sydney and Brisbane. Tickets to all that stuff's on sale now. And you can find those tickets and details at mattstewartcomedy.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart, and our first guest this week from Finding Yeezus and the Total Reboot podcast, it's Alexi Toliopoulos.
It is my pleasure and my dream to be amongst you today, friends.
Our second guest this week has his debut special, Rat Paradise, streaming worldwide. Welcome, Jack Druce.
This is the greatest honor of my life to be with you fellas today.
Wow.
Holy moly.
It's not getting any better for me either. I can guarantee
this is the top. We have reached the pinnacle and now we shall trudge forth into heaven together because the only way is up.
It's so good to have you both here. The vibe in the room is electric.
Wow.
Let me tell you how the show works. I ask a relatively obscure trivia question and our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one and they have to guess which one is correct. Okay, are we ready to play?
I was actually one of the few people on this earth that was born ready.
I was born incapable of doing this.
Okay,
after a lot of surgery and therapy, I think I'm ready.
Well, we are two geniuses in the room today, so the chances of us knowing the answer, I would say extremely high. Two of the most learned men in the world of comedy coming head to head.
All right, here's question number one. And this one comes from Alan Kerr from Glasgow. The question is, what is the meaning of the word defense? What is the meaning of the word
defense? The meaning of the word defense. Okay, I think I know this one.
We got to act like we don't know it, right, though?
So okay, all right.
Defense, maybe right. Like a type of fish, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe the French word for the fence, I'd say.
Yeah.
What is the meaning of the word defenestration? What is the meaning of the word defenestration? Right, while they're writing their answers, I'll explain how the scoring works. So you get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestant and another point if you correctly guess the answer. By the way, I'm also playing as the house. I've put in two of my own fake answers with the help of the question writers for each question and I get a point for each one of those that our guests choose. So each of us can score up to 2 points per round. It seems fair, but the probability actually favours me, the house. And the house always wins. So if you've listened to most of the episodes, you know that is often not the case. Anyway, our questions come from our great Patreon supporters. If you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dogoonpod, linked in the show notes. All right, the answers are in. So let's go back to our first question. What is the meaning of the word defenestration? Here are your five options. A wartime tactic where foreign spies learn military secrets by seducing the partners of high-ranking government officials. The removal of drainage systems, the act of throwing someone or something out of a window, to remove one's toenails permanently, or deliberately leaving the milk out so that it goes off.
Wow, wow. So many glorious options.
Yes.
And each one more interesting than the last.
Yeah.
I am kind of thinking at the moment that the answer could perhaps be the removal of, would you say, drainage systems?
Yes.
But that seems like such a specific thing. Like, why would you need to remove drainage systems? Is it, and there's no talk of putting new ones in place. So is it just making something more shit? Like, to just go, well, yeah, we're just going to have an empty hut now with no drainage. You can just live there, no problem. If they're not, you know, refenestrating, What a refenestration I've never heard of before.
But you have heard of defenestration.
Well, I've heard of it as of 3 seconds ago.
Well, you know, the next question may well be, what is refenestration?
Wow. And then hopefully I would have learned from this round a little something to help me out. I think I will go with that, removing the drainage.
But, you know, they might be going off the grid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if removing drainage is something people off the grid do, but if they're legitimate, they would.
Yeah. If only I knew what to fenester something meant, then I could surely deduce what this is.
That's a big part of it, I reckon. How about you, Jack?
I don't know. I'm thinking about the seducing the government officials' partners. That seems like such a wild position to have in the military.
Yeah, the defenestrator.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be hard to like mingle with your veterans post-war. They're all talking about the trenches and stuff. And it's like, some of those dames I was smooching in Paris.
So I was in Nature's Trench.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't a relationship the ultimate trench? Am I right, fellas?
We all have our scars.
Yeah. But
I wonder if there's wartime medals for that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's just a little high five on a little medallion.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a medallion. Some sort of like body count thing.
Two eyes and one of them is winking on the medal. But sorry, can you tell me the last two again? Because you said
I'll quickly go through them all again. So we had that wartime one.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had removal of drainage systems.
Yeah.
Act of throwing someone or something out of a window.
Yeah.
To remove one's toenails permanently or deliberately leaving the milk out so that it goes off. Now the toenails one, that sounds a bit like the drainage one. There's no talk of replacing the toenails there, Alex.
Wow.
Have you ever been called Alex?
not on the record before, but I will respond to Alex. But if you call me Alex, good Lord, I will fucking lay waste to you, brother.
How would the removal of toenails permanently, like what would be done so that they don't grow back?
Yeah,
like,
you can take them off, but then
cut the whole foot off, perhaps.
Oh, yeah.
That might help them from growing back permanently.
Yeah, if you took your whole foot off, describing that as removing your toenails permanently would be a wild description of that act.
That might be known as the greatest defenestration of them all, to take the whole foot off.
No, I'm sticking with seducing the partners of government officials.
Okay, locking that in for Jack. All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. First up, they're deliberately leaving the milk out so that it goes off. That was the House, specifically written by Alan, the question writer.
Of course a House would write something that's a common household problem.
Exactly.
That's why I didn't lock that one in.
Yeah.
I quite enjoyed Alan's work there. Then we had to remove one's toenails permanently. That was written by Alex.
Yes. Yes, I thought it would be a disgusting thing to imagine and to really strike you out, Drew.
Your strategy is to destroy my brain early in the game so I can't
to give you some
anymore.
Kind of to give you some kind of mid-game illness, perhaps, like you can win by default.
The removal of drainage systems, that was written by Jack. So Alex, you went for that one.
Congratulations, you have bested me, sir.
And that means that Jack, you're still in the running for having the correct answer here. But unfortunately, no, the wartime tactic where foreign spies boned partners or whatever, that was also the House, also written by Alan. The correct answer was the act of throwing someone or something out of a window.
Wow.
What a wild word.
Yeah.
Is fenestration a type of window?
Fenestra is apparently the new Latin word for window or opening.
Wow, good Lord. Well, hopefully there'll be a fenestra for me to win the game later on.
All right, so that means 1 point for Jack, 1 point for the House as we go on to question number two. This one comes from Abraham Eifer from Tallinn in Estonia. I think this might be our first Estonian question. The question is, what is Momofuku Ando best known for? That's a person's name. What is Momofuku Ando best known for? So while you're writing those answers down, I'll let the listeners know a bit more about defenestration. So according to Alan, the word comes from the new Latin de, meaning down from, and fenestra, window or opening. If someone was to jump out of a window, this would be auto defenestration. The term originates from two incidents in history, both occurring in Prague. In 1419, seven town officials were thrown from the new town hall, precipitating the Hussite War. And then in 1618, two imperial governors and their secretary were tossed from the Prague castle, sparking the 30 Years' War. These incidents, particularly that in 1618, were referred to as the defenestrations of Prague and gave rise to the term and the concept.
Oh my God. Well, now it's one of my greatest fears to be defenestered, so...
So I was watching a show on Netflix this week set in Oktoberfest in the early 1900s and someone auto...
Were you watching Beerfest? Were you watching Beerfest?
I wasn't watching Beerfest, no. I was watching... I guess it's sort of a gritty reboot of Beerfest called Oktoberfest, Beer and Blood.
Whoa, someone had to do it. Someone had to grittily reboot Beerfest.
Beerfest, what a classic. I'm nervous, Alexi, about... Our last question's always a movie synopsis, and I had to work hard to try and find one I hope that you wouldn't know.
Wow.
Because you know...
A mighty task. I've seen almost every single film, so it is a tough one for you to come up against me, sir. I don't know why I keep calling you guys sir. I just think I have a tremendous amount of respect for you both.
It's very respectful, but also your tone is very combative as well. It's really hard to figure out where we sit with you.
I love to keep the guys on edge, you know?
All right. Looks like your answers are in.
Yeah, I'm in.
So the question is, what is Momofuku Ando best known for?
Forgiven.
Not by me, mate.
All right. He was the inventor of instant noodles. He tried to break the record for the world's biggest playable guitar, but a construction mishap led to his death when the nearly completed guitar fell on him.
Oh, gosh, that would be one of the greatest nightmares, to be so close to fulfilling your destiny.
Yeah.
A mighty swordsman from the Ronin era. They're a performance artist known for attempting to climb Everest naked. Or he revolutionized the world of dog fashion.
Wow.
Five pretty compelling options there. Jack, do you want to have first stab here?
Sure. I mean... The guitar one has captured my imagination. That would be, I feel like that's so so beautiful. I would have heard about it earlier now. Just like the idea of being crushed by your own dream.
Mm.
Surely there will be an Oscar winning film based on that by now.
Yeah. And then, it ends. But the closing credits are played on the world's biggest guitar.
Wow. Jack Black could surely will be a masterclass in that performance.
I wonder if you could get the world's biggest man to play the world's biggest guitar.
Oh, who's currently holding that record?
I did watch a YouTube video about the world's tallest man, and he was asked about the time he met the world's shortest woman for a Guinness World Record event. And they asked him about it, and he got extremely emotional, and he was like, it was so wonderful to meet her, but I had to tell all the aides and helpers to keep her far away from me because I couldn't see her down there so low, and I thought I'd step on her and crush her.
Oh, my God.
And he was, like, really upset by how he was like, it was so good to meet her, but I just couldn't stay. I couldn't be anywhere near her.
Wow. That's an encounter I've never had. No one I've ever met, I've been worried about crushing them. But, you know, it could be kind of funny.
Could that have been Sultan Kusun, a Turkish farmer?
Yeah, I think he was Turkish.
Yeah. He's got the... So I've searched world's biggest man, and you made a good point. You knew him as the world's tallest man. How do you become the world's biggest man? Because big can be so many things. Personality,
wider,
height, width.
Yeah. I'm going for world's biggest personality at the moment is what I'm trying.
I would love like a Miss Universe style pageant for the world's biggest man. And there's all different criterias that can... There's one guy's not that big, but he's out there. He's riffing. He's dancing. He's got so
a real
much character.
Cat.
Yeah.
And then there's one guy who's like 8 foot tall and 8 foot wide. And he is filling out a couple of categories there.
And he's really trying to work on his charisma to try and get that over the line.
Just a cube, man. Yeah. That's so funny.
Mr. Cube.
Well, I can't remember. Have we locked in any answers here? No.
No. What's the question?
What was it? Biggest cube? Let's put that
Yeah. My answer is biggest Mr. Cube.
Momofuku Ando. What's he best known for? Inventor of instant noodles. Died. With the big guitar, mighty swordsman, nude Everest climber, or dog fashion revolutionary?
I'm going dog fashion. That just felt the... don't have an explanation. It just felt the most natural to me.
Okay.
Just hit right.
All right.
I actually think dog fashion is the most unnatural. I think it is one of the most, the things that one can do to forsake God is to dress a dog up. So I will be going for instantaneous noodles.
Okay, instantaneous noodles for Alexi. Let's go through who wrote the answers. Firstly, the one that caught your attention early about the guitar, that was written by The House.
Wow, congratulations to The House.
That's good writing.
Friend of the show, Dave.
A wonderful
Wonky
writer.
Is obsessed with a Wikipedia page that is inventors who were killed by their own creations.
I'm obsessed with that now as well.
Yeah, and I think I didn't realize it at the time, but I think I must have been inspired by that idea.
Yeah.
Then we had A Mighty Swordsman from the Ronin era. That was written by Alexi. When was the Ronin era? Lex.
Don't know, I just made that up. I just thought of samurais and stuff like that and was like, let's just put it in. I don't even think it's an era. I think it's just a term for, you know, samurai.
Well, it had me. I believed it.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the most realistic thing one could write down.
I think you nailed it. If anything, maybe
it
was too
not
realistic.
Really, didn't work.
Yeah, well, Jack did go for a world dog fashion guy, so it's not all, you know, you never know what they're going to go for. The performance artist known for attempting to climb Mount Everest naked, that was written by Jack.
Wow.
That was me.
That means...
Jack, that would have been my second pick, mate.
Ooh.
That means one of you is correct. And it's not Jack, the revolutionizer of world dog fashion. That was written by Abraham / The House. I mean, the correct answer is he was the inventor of instant noodles.
Whoa, okay, 1 point to Lex. Congratulations to me, the future victor of this game.
All right, so that means 1 point to Lex, 1 point to The House.
I'm sure you've covered this on your many other podcasts and your podcasting empire, but can you give me one example of an inventor killed by their own invention?
Oh, geez, I feel like the... What's that wheeling... machine that you sort of stand on, you lean
the
forward.
The car?
Yes.
The automobile?
The automobile.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, the...
Segway?
Segway. I think the Segway guy fell off a cliff riding a Segway.
Oh, man.
Wow. In many ways, I would put John Lennon on that list because his music did inspire that man to kill him.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a good point.
And a grim one.
That is a very grim... So it's called... The page is called List of Inventors Killed by Their Own Invention. Oh, the classic one. That we, Dave did a whole do go on about, was this guy who created the parachute suit and he jumped off the Eiffel Tower to prove that it worked. And it didn't quite work.
Oh, man.
It worked for a second or two, didn't
it? Yeah,
it
worked for a little bit.
Just not well enough.
He didn't live to tweak it, though, unfortunately.
I was just giggling about the idea that on the page there's the inventor of Murdertron 10,000.
Who would have thought? Murdertron, no! all right, here we are with question number three. This one comes from Alec Ruiz Guerrero from Austin, Texas. And his question is, famous Mexican comedian Roberto Gomez Bolanos was known mainly by a nickname. What does that nickname translate to in English? While you're writing your answers, I'll let the audience know a bit more about Momofuku Ando. According to Abraham, after World War II, Japan was facing food shortages. Momofuku Ando was convinced that noodles could be flash fried to allow for longer storage and easier preparation in the kitchen. After a year of trial and error, he created what we now know as instant ramen. And the rest, as they say, is history. Fun fact, he's also credited with the invention of cup noodles and the global popularization of instant noodles in general.
Wow. Well, finally a collaboration between the guy that invented the cup and the guy that invented noodles. Mm.
The world's been waiting patiently. He's known as the father of instant noodles. What a great title.
I wonder how his other children feel about that. This is my sibling, all instant noodles. Yeah. I wish more comedians in Australia had like nicknames they went by.
Yeah. Yeah, what would you go by if you could?
Does it have to be in Spanish?
It doesn't have to be.
Okay. Maybe the bunyip of comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I like those cryptozoological animals. And I feel like bunyips don't get enough recognition. You know, everyone talks about Bigfoot and whatever.
And even in Australia, the Yowie gets more love than the bunyip.
Yeah.
Bunyips, I like them.
Well, I think it's a great way to get the bunny up a little bit more, so I think you should change your name.
It'll be shortened to just Bunyip eventually, and then probably Yippo or something.
Yeah, Yippo.
Yippopotamus.
And I do like really very profound Nanette-style shows. Yeah. I was like, you seen Yippo's new tearjerker? Yippo just won the Barry? That's sick.
All right, here's question number three. Famous Mexican comedian Roberto Gomez Bolanos was known mainly by a nickname. What does that nickname translate to in English? Man dressed as a duck. The Mexican rattlesnake, 1,000 liters of laughter, Little Shakespeare, or Senor Cube?
Oh, man. I would love like a big stadium lineup comedy tour of acts named all those things.
Yeah.
Like one after the other. The MC's just bringing them on, just killing. 10,000 liters of laughter. Here we go. It's just a regular person, but they're like submerged in a big water tank that gets wheeled on stage and they perform from the tank. That would be good.
The first liquefied comedian. Yeah. Wow. What were they again? We've got
man dressed
10,000
as a duck.
Liters of... Okay, yeah.
Can you read them out as if you're bringing them onto the stage?
Okay, sure.
First.
Please welcome is one of my great friends. It's man dressed as a duck.
Yes. Quack, quack, sir.
One of the best in the business. He's been touring all around Australia. Please make him welcome. It's the Mexican rattlesnake.
Wow.
You know him, you love him, you've seen him on the project. It's 1,000 liters of laughter. He is one of our favorites here at the room we're in. Please welcome him up. It's Little Shakespeare.
Oh, I doff my cap at thee.
Fast becoming a legend of the scene. This guy is one that all the comedians love to watch. Give us all you got for Senor Cube.
Yes.
Cube, 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 cube.
Now, does that help you?
It helps me emotionally. great. Yeah, that's awesome. I love that Little Shakespeare implies the existence of a comedian named Big Shakespeare. Yeah.
Or maybe he's referring to Big Bill himself. And he's just the smaller version.
Oh, yeah. Big Billy Shakespeare.
Either of you have a thought here?
I'm thinking that man dressed as a duck seems very much like Jack Drews' humor. I don't know why, but I associate Jack Drews with bird style humor. And there's something about that is I'm clocking Drews. I'm thinking perhaps Little Shakespeare is the option.
Little Shakespeare, locking that in.
Because Mexican rattlesnake, I'm writing that one off because. It would be like if I was called the Australian, like, if you chose your name as the Australian Bunyip, it's implied that he's Mexican. Actually, Jack, I think should put that one in, maybe.
Yeah. Mexican rattlesnake?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
I'm a...
I can't play that kind of dirty game. I don't know how to do it.
I'm too in love with 10,000 liters of laughter. Is that the correct amount of liters?
It's just 1,000 liters of laughter. I think 10,000 liters would be even better.
Yeah. Measuring laughter in liters is so funny to me. And if any of you boys are responsible for that, then I don't mind taking the L because I'll give you that. If that being the preferred unit of measurement for comedy, it really gets me. So.
All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. Man dressed as a duck. That was written by The House.
Wow, Drews. Wow. I'm so sorry to call you a bird, a friend of bird comedy.
Yeah, you can call me that anytime, mate.
Yeah, you do have multiple bird bits, though. I know there was a whole bird show, wasn't there, a few years back?
Well, I called one show Kitchen Bird, which involved a bird. And then I did my next show. It was called Rat Paradise, but there were birds in the poster for the rat one. Mm. So I'm really inconsistent with my animal stuff I do.
Maybe you could change it into Jack Bird or Jack Parrot, perhaps.
Jack Parrot is awesome.
Yeah, it's
great. Wow.
The Mexican rattlesnake, that was written by Jack.
That's me. Unfunny, all my answers so far. I feel like there's something in me that wants to, I like board games and I just want to play the game. I gotta remember to be a comedian sometimes.
No, I love that.
But that's
that.
How you're going to get me out, I reckon.
Yeah.
That's a good balance as well, because Alexi really threw this one by going, Senor Cube.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got Mr. Cube stuck in my brain at the moment. Unfortunately, imagining the 8 foot tall and 8 foot wide man.
I love it. I said your cube is so good. But yeah. I like how you've also got the English translation. You've got one Spanish word in it. Wouldn't it be Mr. Cube? But anyway, I love it. Senor Cube. Fantastic.
I had to put Senor Cube. Sorry to break the rules of the game.
You had to. I'd love to know what cube is in Spanish. I'll find
Cubos?
Out.
Cubos?
Cubos. Senor Cubos.
Cuban?
Oh, Cuban, yes.
Yeah.
Famously a cube-shaped country. all right, so that means one of you is correct here. 1,000 liters of laughter, that was the house, I'm afraid. So Little Shakespeare is correct. But I appreciate those compliments, Jack. I also was tickled as I was writing Liters of Laughter.
Yeah.
How did your brain come up with it?
Your intro for your festival show.
Yes. You got to core show that 1,000 Liters of Laughter guaranteed. It's
I think it was just a little bit of the alliteration, Liters of Laughter. Wow. And just the idea that there'd be a translation mix up. That it doesn't. There's not a direct translation, so it doesn't quite come out right, but it ends up being even better.
On behalf of Drews and I here today, we actually would love to bestow upon you the honor of being one of the great writers of all time.
Move over, Big Shakespeare. There's a new writer in town.
All right, quick score update. After three rounds, we've got Jack on 1 point, Alexi on 2 points, but out front it's the house on 3 points. I'm very uncomfortable out in the lead, you two, so you need a lift here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remembering
right, we're going to bring the house down.
In any
not unlike Big Little Shakespeare himself, we shall bring the house down.
You can, in any one round, score 2 points but if you get the correct answer and the other person guesses your answer, so...
Wow, I hope to do that next round then. Thank you for reminding me that it's a possibility.
Scores can change very quickly. All right, so question four. This one comes from Emmy White from Albuquerque in New Mexico.
Wow.
Question is, which of the following is a real headline from the Canadian newspaper Red Deer Advocate? Which of the following is a real headline from the Canadian newspaper Red Deer Advocate? And while you're writing your answers, here's a little more info about Roberto Gomez Bolanos. According to NPR... In English, Chespirito, which is what he's known as, Chespirito roughly means Little Shakespeare, a fitting name for Roberto because the Mexico City-born artist wrote hundreds of television shows, 20 films, and countless theater productions during his career, and also because of his stature and size. He cast himself as a...
He was 8 foot tall and 8 foot wide.
His real name was Senor Cube.
He cast himself as a small boy in one of his most famous shows, El Chavo del Ocho, or The Kid at Number 8, which was about a poor orphan boy who lived in a barrel. It was slapstick funny, not vulgar, because Bolanos said he avoided vulgarity out of respect for his audience. And it resonated with a wide variety of people because of its depictions of family, friends, and even the disparities in Mexico's economic classes. Bolanos also famously played El Chapulín Colorado, or the Crimson Grasshopper.
Whoa.
A cocky but clumsy superhero. Bolanos and his Crimson Grasshopper character were the inspiration for The Simpsons' Bumblebee Man.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
I got it.
Matt Groening inspired by real life, just like all great artists.
That's awesome, that guy. I got to look into...
Yeah,
how cool.
Little Shakespeare.
Yeah.
I got to look into this Mr. Cube guy, too.
Is there a Mrs. Cube?
Only Madame Rhombus, unfortunately.
All right, while you're still writing your answers, let's go for a quick break.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, your answers are in. So here is question number four. Which of the following is a real headline from the Canadian newspaper Red Deer Advocate? Newspaper industry dying. Please buy this paper. Pig mayor wins in election landslide. Justin Trudeau dead. Just kidding. He just did something problematic. Man eats underwear to beat breathalyzer. Or calls for truce as owner of Loose Moose offers no excuse.
Wow.
Okay. So one of these is a headline.
Wow.
The Red Deer Advocate.
I'm thinking perhaps, is this front page news?
I don't know, actually.
It could just be anywhere in the paper.
Yeah, it's a headline. It could be front page.
Wow. I'm trying to think of front page. What is worthy of the front page? Perhaps I'm thinking maybe man eating underwear to defeat breathalyzer, because I can imagine, you know, if you have been sinking a few of those Canadian whiskies, you would be doing anything you can to beat the breathalyzer, and perhaps in a moment of need, you would try munching on your own undies.
Okay.
It would be quite difficult to do, but it would be... To me, if I don't drive, so I have never had to have these thoughts before. It's the first time I'm processing this idea in my head. And if I'm in this state, I'm like, well, I can't eat my shirt because they would know that I've eaten my whole shirt because I would no longer be shirted. But underwear, it's one of the few items of clothing that would not be revealed that you have eaten it. And I would assume it would have the strongest smell and taste, thus neutralizing the breath. And I will be locking that in, unfortunately.
Okay, locking that in for us. And I don't know if I've said this yet, Jack. You can pick the same, or go your own way. It's up to you.
No, I believe I will go my own way. I'm thinking I'm going to go with Loose Moose Excuse Caboose.
Calls for truce as owner of Loose Moose offers no excuse.
Wow, the selection for Jack Druce.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I feel like that's the kind of thing that newspapers love to do. And I mean, people trying to think of funny
It would be really fun to
also
write
also love
that.
To do that as well.
How are you interpreting the loose there? Is this a morally loose moose or a moose on the loose?
No, it's just that's a good question. I was imagining it was kind of running amok.
Yeah.
But it could be just, not a good moose. Sort of not really interested in other people's feelings or...
And if this was a news story about a duck, more likely would run amok, but it is about the moose, so it is loose.
So happy to lock that in?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let's go through who wrote the answers. Newspaper industry dying, please buy this paper. That was written by The House, in particular Emmy from
Emmy,
Albuquerque.
Great work, Emmy.
Albuquerque, I think, has got to be one of the best city names.
Yeah.
Pig mayor wins in election landslide. That was written by Jack. Then we had Justin Trudeau dead. Just kidding. He just did something problematic. That was written by Alexi.
Yes, he has done a few crazy things, such as dressing up as a racist that he's not.
And he, I like how you've written in a psych in the middle of a newspaper headline.
Yeah, it is my style of comedy to do a psych in the middle of something.
Calls for truce as owner of Loose Moose offers no excuse. That was The House, I'm afraid, Jack.
Played.
Lexi was correct. It is man eats underwear to beat breathalyzer.
Oh, man.
Yeah, wild.
Solid.
I can't believe my logic paid off for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you don't have the information, Matt, but do you read that in a way? Do you interpret that to mean he did successfully beat the breathalyzer?
I do. I'm going to read the article in a sec.
Wow.
So the next question is question number 5, and it comes from Danielle and Adam Osborne from Emsworth in the UK.
A collab.
Yeah,
wow,
love a
thank
collab.
You.
Love a collab.
To the Osbornes, we wish you thank you.
And their question is, which of these is a real species of fungi? Is it? No, fungi. Oh, how do you say that?
I would say either one.
Okay, great.
And I would be incorrect at one of those times, but I'm not sure which one.
So you basically just got to make up a species of fungi or fungi. And while you're writing your answers, here is the article written by Darcy Rickard of the Red Deer Advocate, Red Deer, Alberta in Canada. An 18-year-old Stettler man tried to eat his underwear in the hope that the cotton fabric would absorb alcohol before he took his breathalyzer test, provincial court heard this week. David Zerfler was subsequently acquitted of a charge of impaired driving because he blew 0.08, which is the legal limit over there apparently. But the testimony broke up people in Judge David McNaughton's provincial court here on Thursday afternoon. Mr. Zerfler was collared by RCMP Constable Bill Robinson after he ran from his vehicle, which had been seen weaving down the highway. While sitting in the back of the patrol car, Mr. Zerfler tried to eat his shorts, Constable Robinson told the court. Mr. Zerfler said he ripped the crotch out of his shorts, stuffed the fabric in his mouth, and then spat it out. A class of law students from William E. Hay Composite High, in court as observers, were removed by the teacher when testimony enlivened the proceedings. The grade 11 and 12 students had difficulty maintaining composure. People were leaving the courtroom with tears in their eyes, trying not to laugh, said RCMP Constable Peter McFarlane.
Yeah. I would not find this funny if this happened in real life. I would be like, no way. Try not to laugh. Just try me, brother. I don't think this is funny, and I think less of you as a man.
Very serious stuff.
Like how comedians in interviews just say they just love making people laugh. Or it's like, if you were serious about that, you'd just commit absurd crimes and then go to trial.
That's exactly. Call me Mr. really Tickler. Laugh.
Yeah, it's so funny that he didn't even blow over anyway.
I think the guy was looking for an excuse to eat his own undies.
All right, so your answers are in. Here's question number 5. Which of these is a real species of fungi or fungi? Slippery Jack, Cheese Cap, Little Yummy Mushrooms, the Mancurian Monkey, or the Devil's Pen Pal?
Goodness.
They all sound delicious.
Mm.
Some of them sound a little risky, though. So those options again. Slippery Jack, Cheese Cap, Little Yummy Mushrooms, the Mancurian Monkey, or the Devil's Pen Pal?
Wow. The Devil's Pen Pal. That's very exciting because to communicate with the devil is one of the more dastardly things a man can do in this world. I'm looking, I'm trying to think because I'm a foodie. I love food. Mm. I love to cook it. I love to consume it. And I'm thinking mushrooms. Little Yummy Mushrooms, the cheese cap is quite exciting to me. Cheese cap. I would love to try the cheese cap.
And do you cook with mushrooms often?
Not really. My partner doesn't eat them, but I freaking love them. I go psycho for those little fungi. But so we don't have them much in my house, but when I go out, I usually will get a mushroom thing because it is my chance to live free from the chains of my partner. And that's really when the cat's away, the mice can play with the little mushrooms. Cheese cap is really enticing me. It sounds fucking fantastic.
All right, lock that in.
Lock it, babe.
All right. Chuck it in.
Lock it. Turn the key. It's my answer.
How about you, Jack?
So the little yummy mushrooms sounds good, but it's also seems to be a problematic name for if you were buying mushrooms at like a market or whatever, and they were like, what kind do you want? And you're like, oh, little yummy mushrooms. But it doesn't narrow it down necessarily.
Yeah, then it
describes a few types of mushrooms.
And it's the interpretation of the vendor as well.
Yeah.
They'd be like, well, these ones that aren't moving, I think these are little and yummy.
Yeah.
Like, but you're just trying to get rid of old stock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do buy a brand of onions called Yumyuns. Oh, it's reminding me of that. Yumyuns. Maybe
that doesn't quite work, does it? But
are there any animals?
They work great in a pizza, brother. Okay. I'll tell you that.
Are there any animal meat named to make the meat sound enticing? Oh.
Maybe duck breast.
good question.
This is a yum.
Because it's like tasty cheese is a bit of a classic.
Yeah, and that's a very like weird Aussie thing as well.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, when we moved to Australia, it was like I remember like my dad had a wacky thing where he was getting a sandwich somewhere and he said cheese and they were like,
wow,
tasty, and he'd like, I would bloody hope so.
Tasty cheese, one of the least tasty types of cheese, I'd say as well.
It's a very bland cheddar.
One of the shittest foods you could eat, I would say.
And she's over in America, Canada. Is it they are like Jack cheese is big over there, right?
That sounds familiar.
That's what you're named after, right?
Yeah. It was either
Jack Cheese would actually be a really good name for you if you were still looking to change it.
It's between Jack Cheese, Jack Parrot, or
Mr. Cube.
Yeah. I got to bulk up for Mr. Cube. No one's buying me as Mr. Cube right now. What was the Mancurian Monkey? I think I'm going to go with
Mancurian Monkey. Mancurian, it's spelled with a C-H, M-A-N-C-H-U-R-I-A-N.
I know the Manchurian candidate is someone who's been brainwashed.
Right.
And I feel like maybe a brainwashed monkey makes me think,
yeah,
that's a good cheese.
This is a mushroom question.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Does that change your answer?
We were talking about cheese before, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was the cheese cap option. That's what I'll be interested to see if this changes. Well, it's obviously Manchurian monkey. That could be a cheese. It's certainly not a mushroom.
My brain is being ripped apart thinking about cheese, mushrooms, and monkeys at the same time. It's never happened.
Wow,
had to do
a
that
splendid
before.
Dish you are concocting by accident.
Manchurian monkey type of mushrooms.
Oh, lock it in?
Lock it in.
All right, here's who wrote the answers. The Devil's Pen Pal. That was written by Jack. That was fantastic work.
Oh, thank you.
Big fan of that.
Yeah, well, I might just recycle it for something else that tickled me.
Put it for the next question, I reckon.
Yeah.
Then we had Little Yummy Mushrooms. That was Alexi. Cheese Cap. That was The House.
Wow, The House has bested me.
In particular, that was the dastardly duo of Danielle and Adam Osborne.
The Osbournes, you will rue the day you crossed me.
Bested by the Osbournes.
I have a funny feeling that they might be mushroom people.
That's
mushroom experts.
Wait.
Like weird creatures.
Oh, God. I didn't mean they were gnomes, dude.
Because they just seem like they know what they're talking about. The Manchurian Monkey, that was written by me, The House.
Oh, man.
I didn't know what it meant. I normally try and put one so ridiculous in that people won't guess it, and I'm finding they're often the ones that people go for.
Yeah.
Sorry to...
Because that's the same mindset that people submitting the questions
have. Yes, that's
so
right.
That'll be why.
Exactly, yep. Meaning the correct answer is Slippery Jack, and I would like to submit that as another option for your new name.
Yeah. Well, okay. What are the options again? Slippery Jack.
Jack Cheese.
Jack Cheese. And
Mr.
Jack
Cube,
Parrot.
Jack Parrot or Senor Cube.
Well, Mr. Cube, if you do bock up. Yeah.
I don't mind. So this is me being brought onto stage doing stand up. Welcome to the stage, Slippery Jack Parrot.
Oh, yeah.
Combo one.
That's good.
And then, you can hear people in the audience whispering, oh, I've heard this guy's great.
Yeah. And I'm fully greased up in feathers and I slide from the back of the theater all the way to the stage.
I love setting up that much expectation at the start of a show.
I've done no work on the material.
How do you follow
same
that
old
for
bits.
An hour? so good. All right. Well, that means you two now have a little bit of work to do. The score update is Jack on 1 point, Alexi on 3 points. Now, out in front with a big lead, it's The House on 6 points.
Fuck, I'm going to kill The House. I'm going to strike it down.
This is very uncomfortable territory.
Statistically impossible for us?
There's two more questions, and either of you could get a maximum of 4 points from here.
Yeah.
So you're kind of out of the running.
Yeah.
But I will say, and I think I'm going to make this a permanent thing, the last round when people are out of touch, we do triple points if they want.
Wow.
And everyone so far has taken that option because I think, why wouldn't you? It's weird that I even go, it's an option.
I will forbid Jack from choosing the triple points. I dream of winning.
I'm going to live by the sword, die by the sword.
No. I would love to do the triple points. I would love to become a really high winner.
I feel like we might just
win or if I lose, to lose to The House and Jack honorably.
I like that. All right. So here's question number 6. And it comes from Kieran Darcy from Birmingham in the UK. Question is, why did the West Bromwich Albion Football Club make news in August of 2018? And while you're writing those answers, let me tell you a little more about Slippery Jacks. Now, according to Danielle and Adam, the Slippery Jack, also known as the Sticky Bun Fungus, is an edible fungus found under conifer trees in the UK. Gets its name from the slimy coating it secretes during wet weather. It is recommended to remove its slimy coating before cooking in a soup or stew. Apparently the slime can give you stomach issues. So if anyone's out there hunting for mushrooms, get rid of the slime. All right, question number 6. Why did the West Bromwich Albion Football Club make news in August of 2018? They won the game by trying out a new strategy of building a team of local semi-professional wrestlers. Due to a translation error, the team's star recruit from Italy tried to eat a training cone, thinking it was part of a hazing tradition. After signing a sponsorship deal with a heating company, they unveiled their new mascot, Boiler Man. their goalkeeper needed to pee during the match and conceded a goal while peeing behind the net, or they signed a dog to play as striker with the club saying that there was no specific rule against it.
Wow.
This is one of those ones where I just would love all of these to have happened.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if either of you want to jump in first here.
There were a lot of good ones there. I had a thing, and I did a video about this one time, so I don't want to like rehash like I'm doing bits or whatever. But the whole like the Airbud style, like there's nothing against it in the rules. It's like I don't think rule books need to come up with rules against every possible like surreal option that could exist in the universe. I don't think it's how I think rules are pretty limited to the scope of what one would expect could happen in a game.
Yeah,
like if you like nothing against firing a gun into the air or it's like, you can't write an infinite rule book of everything that could happen. But yeah, I don't know. I liked the sound of Boiler Man. I liked there's a good documentary I watched about the Danbury Trashers, which is a hockey team run by a mafia run by the son of this mafia guy. And their mascot was just this ice skating trash can. And I thought that was so good.
That's awesome.
So I like Boiler Man.
So you're leaning that way?
I could do with another
read.
Rundown, if that's okay.
I'll just go briefly. So we had they made up their team of semi-professional wrestlers.
Sick.
The Italian recruit tried to eat a training cone.
That's it.
Boiler Man was their new mascot. A goalkeeper considered a goal while having a pee behind the net, or they signed a dog to play as striker.
Wow, okay. I'm trying to employ my empathy because it's served me so well in the past with the guy eating his own underwear. I'm trying to put my head into all of these people, and I keep relating to the goalkeeper who had to chuck a slash because I've been there, brother.
Yeah.
Many times I've had a pee brewing in my body and I've even an inappropriate, inopportune time to let it go, but sometimes you just got to let it go. So I'm going with the piss guy, guy who pissed on the field behind the goals or whatever it was.
Piss guy for Lex.
Yeah, piss guy. Piss Jack, guy. This is not a submission for your nicknames. So I wouldn't put this one to you, sir.
You're in the market for a nickname though.
Yeah, piss guy, that could suit me. And I do piss almost every day. Almost every day I piss. So it's something I do quite regularly.
Every weekday, right?
Every weekday. Weekend I hold it in.
Yeah. Weekend, that's for you. I'm gonna go with not Boiler Man, because the question was why did they make news? And I don't know if that would make the news. So
it's
I'm gonna
not
go,
newsworthy.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with
now that you mentioned the piss guy might not be newsworthy either.
Oh, I know there's quirky stories in the papers.
I don't think it was
leading the news bulletin or anything like that.
Yeah. I only care about headline news.
We'll return to what's unfolding in the Ukraine. But first, we got Piss Guy.
And it's a smallish club as well, so making the local news kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the tricked Italian.
Tricked Italian, all right. Yeah. Looking at him for Jack.
Tricked out Italian.
All right, let's go through who wrote the answers.
Who wrote?
They signed a dog to play a striker. That was written by the house. And I like your take on it. That is a good point. We shouldn't have to write so many stipulations about every breed of animal that isn't allowed to play on this human sporting team.
Nothing against a pelican.
A pelican playing goalkeeper, swallowing the ball up. You can't do it.
Flying all the way to the other side. Not travel. Didn't touch the ground.
They're technically not feet, they're flippers, so it's not traveling.
Checkmate,
okay, we've got to make this freaking movie. We've got to do it.
The team full of semi-professional wrestlers, that was written by Alexi. Then we had the translation error leading to the Italian player trying to eat a cone. That was the house, I'm afraid, Jack. The goalkeeper needing a pee during the match, conceding a goal. That was written by Jack. So wow, 1 point there for you, Jack.
Jack.
And Jack, you were so close to being correct. The answer was, after signing a sponsorship deal with a heating company, they unveiled their new mascot, Boilerman.
See, I was locked in on that, and then I was just like, but why would it be in the news? I don't understand the news aspect.
I think I might have even put that part of the into the question, I'm afraid.
Right.
That, I think the way Kieran wrote the question was, what strange mascot did West Bromwich had? And I wanted to open it up to a bit more creative writing. And I read about it in a newspaper article that he linked to.
I see.
Sorry about the bum steer there.
No, that's okay.
Well, Jack, you used my greatest strength against me, my empathy. You figured out my strategies and you use it to turn against me. You, sir, are one of the great players of this game.
Thank you very much.
All right, but that does mean going to the final round with triple points, it is still technically anyone's game. So if Alexi picks yours, Jack, and you get it right, you will win the game.
I think even points, I'm still out, though. If you're on, how many are you on?
I'm on now on 7, but you're on 2. So you can get six points and you can jump into the lead.
All right.
Good Lord. Same for Alexi. So Jack's on 2, Alexi on 3, the house on 7 points. Normally the way it plays out, though, is that the person in the lead ends up winning by more. But, you know, at least the opportunity for anyone to win is there.
Anyone can strike. Anyone can win. Even the dreaded house could still win.
And this is the one I'm fearing because I had to go all the way over to Germany. This one comes from Tina from Wiesbaden or something like that.
Hi, Wiesbaden. Guten Tag.
And I'm hoping that you haven't seen this one, Lexi. What was the synopsis of the 2007 German movie Keinohausen? Well, I'll tell you the English name. Rabbit Without Ears. Keinohausen. It's not right.
Wow.
It's Rabbit Without Ears. Sorry to German listeners for me butchering that. So what is the movie synopsis for the 2007 German film Rabbit Without Ears? While your answers are being written, here is some more information about the Boilerman. According to the Telegraph, West Brom's start to life in the EFL Championship may have begun with a defeat to Bolton, but their opening day of the season was not a total disappointment. Saturday's game at the Hawthorns saw the club unveil Boilerman, West Brom's new mascot, following their sponsorship deal with Hull-based company Ideal Boilers. West Brom announced the lucrative 2-year sponsorship agreement with Ideal Boilers back in May, and the company's logo is now the main sponsor on West Brom's match shirts and training kit. Quite rightly, the new mascot was met with suitable levels of mockery from both away supporters and West Brom's own fans. At the side of the combi boiler, with no eyes, dancing its way around the side of the pitch and attempting to participate in some training drills. Good luck to the rest of the sporting world moving forward with their bids to come up with a more superb mascot than Boilerman. Beautiful journalism there, I thought. Honestly, he's not that far off Cube Man, Senor Cube.
I was just laughing at the phrasing of Ideal Boilers. Yeah. Like not good boilers or discount, just ideal. Like
best possible.
Yeah. I'm in the market for something that boils water. Well, this is a boiler. That's ideal.
That's ideal. That's what you want. So this is what he looks like.
Oh, that rules.
Yeah, so good.
And it's the mascot they're against in this match is some sort of bird. And I'm taking a boiler over a bird any day of the week.
Well, this is their old mascot.
Oh, they're passing the torch.
Yeah, and I think there was backlash. What about Flappy the bird or whatever?
The bird symbolically hops in the boiler and is cooked alive.
Boiler man. I thought maybe you might have come up when you're at the project or something. How much you remember day-to-day stuff.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I would remember. Like I would get obsessed about these weird little stories and then I would forget like major world events.
Yeah.
This is some Australian showbiz behind the scenes thing. By the way, it sounds like from people submitting the questions, this podcast is banned in Australia from what I
know.
I noticed that. Very, very global audience.
Yeah, it's weird because there's quite a lot of listeners in Australia, but yeah, I don't know. Just for some reason this week I picked all...
A lot of Aussie cowards not willing to... They can watch from the sidelines but not willing to get in the game.
Yeah.
But, so with the project, I used to be a writer on the project and there was a story one day about someone made like this big, beautiful sort of tweed suit for a horse to wear. And that we were trying to get that on the story as like one of the fun, quirky, like, and in other news, look at this horse wearing a tweed suit. Isn't this kind of a, and then do a little joke on that. And then something happened in the news and we couldn't get to the horse story. And it just became for years after that, like any time there wasn't a, they needed the story to be on the show, we would just aggressively pitch a horse was wearing a suit like 3 years ago. Like we would just not budge from that story. It's like, here's the horse. It's wearing a suit. Put this on the show. It's like, that didn't happen on the day it was news. Like we're not putting it on air. Like, it's good. The horse looks good.
The horse is still around, we assume.
And have you had-
The horse is looking sharp. Let's put him on TV.
And have you had Bec Petratus on this podcast?
No, not yet. I've tried to, but she is busy.
Well, she is rejecting you.
Yeah. That's another way to put it.
Well, one of her many tattoos is said horse.
Oh, wow. Right. That's great. I love that extra context. Here's the final question. Triple points up for grabs.
Oh, my gosh. The tension is palpable, is steamy, and it is exciting right now.
You could.
For the listener and for us as well.
What is the synopsis of the 2007 German film Rabbit Without Ears? Here are your five options. Gossip columnist Ludo is sentenced to work at a local daycare center after an accident. His new boss turns out to be a woman he used to play practical jokes on at school. She hasn't forgotten and is prepared to use her newfound power to get her own back. At the behest of its aging patriarch, a prominent Hanover crime family heads on a hunting trip to the woodlands of Lower Saxony. Before the weekend is over, the hunters become the prey.
Oh.
A big ghost arrives in town and takes over a local petting zoo. A little wolf named Wolfgang learns to accept his horrible howl when he meets Ronald, a rowdy rabbit who was born without ears. Or guardian angels look upon Berlin from up above. A young girl is bullied and neglected, but finds solace when Bruno, her guardian angel, protects her at school when he inhabits the body of her favorite stuffed animal, an earless rabbit. I mean, you've seen a lot of films, Lexi. Jack, I think you're a bit of a film buff too.
I've seen no films. Oh, not a single one.
You two are so...
I hear they're good. I've heard really yin and yang, I haven't got round to it yet.
We are the chalk and cheese of comedy, and that's why we get along so well, because we feel each other's knowledge.
Do you think many of these films could get green lit?
I would say every single film should have the opportunity to be green lit. Every idea should be made with $1 million-plus budget that anyone has, and everyone should get the chance to make at least two or three movies in their lifetime.
I think that's a great idea.
I strongly agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody should get the chance to make two or three.
You don't have to, or are you saying you have to, sort of like compulsory?
You don't have to, service. But anyone can.
Okay,
you've
I
got
like that.
A total budget of like 6 or 7 million, so you could spread that out over three films, or you could commit to one bigger one if you want.
Oh, when you're so born into this world, you're given a bank account with $7 million, but it can only be used to make a film.
Yeah.
Do you get to keep the profits if it makes any?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you'd be, you'd either go with your heart and you make the art that you want to make, or you sort of sell out and go, I need the money. I want to make some. And then how crushed would you be when you, this sort of popcorn movie you make that you've, compromised on ends up bombing anyway?
Yeah.
A tale as old as time, brother. That's the risk that you make trying to make something in this world.
Imagine if Avatar bombed. How would you feel?
Oh God.
I just saw that was nominated for Best Picture, Alexi. Is that?
Yeah, for Bec Picture. Bec's favorite picture.
Is that out of the blue? No.
Wow.
No, sorry.
That would be a great title for an Avatar movie.
Oh, yeah.
Avatar, out of the blue.
It does seem like an odd one out. They don't normally go for movies that are so CGI-like, do they?
Well, you know, every movie has CGI in it nowadays. And Avatar already has precedence. The first film was nominated for Best Picture as well.
Oh, right.
In the first year that they put the nominees up to 10, from 5 to 10. And it was because they wanted to get more bigger blockbusters right. nominated because they felt that the Academy was actually being no longer popular. People weren't seeing the films they wanted represented in there. So sorry to have gone on a tirade here, no, but I asked me a question about film. I had to impart my knowledge.
And I loved it.
I was goofing around before when I said I haven't seen any movies. I did see Avatar 2, The Way of Water, and there is a crab robot that features.
Yeah, really?
I reckon that's an Oscar nom right away. The Oscar people did not even finish the film. I think they saw those crab mech robots and were like, they got the Oscar right there.
Wow.
And congratulations to Crab Mech Robot on his Best Supporting Actor nomination. Well earned, sir.
All right. So the question is, which of these is the synopsis for the 2007 German film Rabbit Without Ears?
Wow. I've seen a lot of German movies, but I've never seen A Rabbit Without Ears. I have never even heard of it. So, Matt, you have done a great job.
Yes.
Ay, ay, ay. I'm going to say the one that I feel is, okay, this is tough. This is very tough because I'm actually quite the movie man. And now I'm being tested against my knowledge and I feel all sorts of out of whack right now. There's tears slowly pouring from my eyes as I go under pressure here. Ay, ay, ay. I am going to go with Jack. Do you have any ideas?
I'm leaning towards option A. The gossip columnist Ludo. Ludo stuck in my brain for some reason.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good name. I thought the other ones didn't maybe feel as complete in my mind.
Mm.
And so I'm...
They could have been written by someone under pressure having to think of the movie immediately, say in Germany perhaps.
Yeah, they all had the feel of a nervous podcaster, you know, where that one had the energy of a steely German filmmaker.
All right.
Yes, that is one that I was thinking too. The name Ludo has just been stuck in my head as well.
Wow, that's right. You've listened to this podcast before, right, Lex?
I have listened to this podcast before. Let it be known, it's one of my favorite podcasts. I think it's very funny and you're a great host.
Oh, that's very
and
nice.
That should be taken into account when my score is added up at the end.
Because we've done a bunch of movies before. Do you normally know the movie in the last
I would question? Say 8 or 9 times out of 10. And I have listened to probably every episode. I've known almost all the movies.
Yeah, I thought you might because they're obscure for your average person, but not for a movie buff.
I'm an above average person.
Yeah, you certainly are.
especially when it comes to the BMI, the body mass index.
are you going the same way? Yes. Are you locking in Ludo as well?
Is it unwise for me to lock in the same answer as Juice?
Well, I think it means that you will finish above him.
Yeah, your score is ahead of mine, so you take me out of position there.
It would be quite wise if I were to do that then. Ay, ay, ay. Well, it's the one I think is right, but there's no reward without risk. So I will probably lock in.
People do this all the time and they nearly never, the switch never pays off. But no, what are you going with?
Second guess.
There is no reward without risk. But let me tell you this, I'm a man who does not need reward and I hate risk. I'm going for Ludo.
Oh, you're going for Ludo? Okay.
Yeah.
Can I change mine then? Because I know statistically, even if it is Ludo, I still lose.
There's nothing in the rule books that says...
Absolutely. can I let this pig pick for me?
fucking hell.
All right.
Fucking hell, Drews.
I'm going to the Guardian Angel one.
All right. Lock in the Guardian Angel. All right. Well, let's go through who wrote the answers. The Behest of the Aging Patriarch, the crime family from Hanover, becomes the prey. That was written by The House.
The House, great work using the word behest, I must say.
It just flew.
I was
aghast out of
when I heard the word behest.
was that that's someone trying too hard? Is that a real red flag when you...
I've read probably 20,000 film synopses in my life. I've never seen the word behest written in there.
That was written by me and Tina. That was a collab there.
Great work, Tina.
Tina.
Who wrote Behest? Who wrote Behest, to be honest?
I think that was mine, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Congratulations.
So, Tina, maybe you had something that was guessable, and then I came in and made
at
it
the
too.
Behest of your own concerns.
Tina also wrote, and I don't think I toyed with this one at all, the one about the little wolf named Wolfgang learning to accept his horrible howl. I'm picturing that's a kid's movie, like an animation maybe.
Well, even though that one is more plausible, I didn't pick it because I felt like I would know most German animated movies because they would likely be up for Oscars. They always have like one international movie in the best animated film category. And I was like, this one I would know about.
Hey, remember Harvey Crumpet?
God, Harvey Crumpet was one of the most iconic moments in Australian history that was nominated for Best Short Film.
It's so funny. Like, I'm not a cinephile by any stretch, and I knew all about Harvey Crumpet.
Harvey Crumpet was a sensation in this land.
That movie maker was a household name for a bit there.
For a moment now, I don't know his name, but his follow-up film, his feature, Mary and Max, is a masterpiece.
I watched that and I enjoyed really it, yeah. It.
Great movie.
I gotta look up his name quickly.
His name is Harvald Kompress.
Adam Elliot.
Oh, Adam Elliot.
Adam Elliot, what a guy.
I was going to say Elliot Goblet.
Elliot Goblet. Yeah, it was a collab. Where are we up to? Been distracted here, sorry. So then we had a big ghost arrives in town and takes over a local petting zoo. That was Jack, and fuck, I found that very funny.
Great work, Jack.
I love the idea of the size of a ghost being huge.
Yeah, I thought if I added a detail, it would make it sound more like a synopsis. But then once you started reading the other ones, I was like, oh, film synopsises are more than just one stupid line. The stuff happens in a film synopsis.
Well, I'm glad you
said
threw that
one. If you said
a
ghost that is 8 foot tall and 8 foot wide, then I might have been more tempted.
That was great. Guardian Angels Look Upon Berlin from Up Above. That's one Jack selected. That was Alexi. So 3 points there to Alexi.
Elden gave you an extra point.
And Alexi also got the question right. It was gossip columnist Ludo.
Oh, man.
Sentenced to work at a local daycare center after an accident. So that's 6 points to Alexi.
Couldn't have worked out better for me to force Jack out of the correct answer and into mine.
As I said, live and die by the sword. Don't mind.
And I was the one who lived by it. Congratulations to me. One of the great successes of the game.
Of the 7 questions, Jack, you picked the right one twice and changed.
That's true.
You
have to go with your gut instinct, Jack. I always have said that to you.
Well, I only...
That was good tactics in that last one.
The second one was, that was a statistical... one. I don't think I was. I think I still made the right decision there by changing. Because if I hadn't changed, I still would have lost.
Yeah, that's right.
And I would have won. Something.
You know? I appreciate it because you meant that I didn't have to. It always feels gross when the house wins. I invite you onto a podcast and then go, anyway, I won. Goodbye. Yeah. All right. So we'll do a score update in a second. But before that, let me tell you a little bit about the film. Apparently, it was co-written, produced, directed by and starring a guy called Till Schweiger. You familiar with
him? Oh, he's from Inglourious Basterds.
That's right.
He's Inglourious Basterds and he's in the movie SLC Punk, which I watched like 3 days ago.
Oh, wow. There you go. I think he's a big name in Germany. This was a surprise hit over there. But it's a romantic comedy. I think it was commercially successful, but sort of mixed in the reviews, but it did win a couple of awards as well. As well as Inglourious Basterds, he was also in Muppets Most Wanted and Deuce Bigelow European Gigolo.
Of course, I watched that movie very recently.
How often do you watch Bruce... What's the name of the movie?
Deuce Bigelow.
Deuce Bigelow. It probably was the first time I'd seen it in maybe 16 years because I saw it when it was originally released on DVD and I thought this is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And then recently I need to watch something that would not put my mind in any kind of place and I decided Deuce Bigelow would be my answer. And I did watch Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo during the making of Finding Jesus in my downtime. My limited downtime, I chose to watch that movie by myself.
And did you know this? I only noticed this yesterday when I was writing this up, that it was directed by Mike Bigelow.
Whoa,
Deuce Bigelow
what?
Was directed by Mike Bigelow.
Wow.
Wow. Perhaps a ghost director of some kind.
Yeah.
Directed by an in-character brother of the lead.
Yeah, that does. Is that possible that someone's like, I don't want to take credit for this? What's that old thing that people used to say? There was like a nom de plume for directors who didn't want to take credit for films.
Isn't there like a
Alan Smithy? Smithy. I'm looking at a review for Rabbit Without Ears right now on Letterboxd. The top review is from a woman called Vicky. One of the drawbacks of being German is that you're surrounded by movies starring Till Schweiger because people here actually seem to think it would be a good idea to cast him for the role of a stereotype guy with a ridiculously annoying Mickey Mouse voice in a stereotype and unoriginal story, which we've seen in one form or another hundreds of times before. Not enough that the story itself is boring, conventional, though trying to be original and breaking with conventions, German filmmakers unerringly understand how to make it even worse by adding a Till Schweiger. Fucking hell, man.
Cop that, Till.
Pretty good endorsement for Germany, though. If that's the worst thing about being German, is that there are movies starring Till Schweiger. That sounds like paradise. That's the worst part.
Hard cut to you living there after 6 months, packing your bag. Yeah, I can't take any more Till.
Till Schweiger. Worse than I thought.
All right, so the final score check is this. On 2 points, we had Jack. Well done, Jack.
Not that well done. Let's be honest.
And Jack, people can watch your comedy special right now.
Yeah, right now. It's on YouTube. It's called Rat Paradise. And my channel is just search Jack Drews. It'll be there as well. And I got other stuff on my channel. I got sketches. I got a sketch about how rule books don't need to have every possible outcome in them, Air Bud style. Check that out. But yeah, if you want to, that would be my big plug for today.
And you're also, for locals, are you touring a new show or just at Melbourne?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not touring anything. But if you live in Melbourne, and I will be doing a show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival called Dreamboat, you can buy a ticket for that at the Comedy Festival website. Just search Jack Drews again.
Awesome.
Oh, man, Jack. Those sketches you've been putting up are so freaking funny, man.
Thanks, man. That's very nice of you to say. It's a lot of fun doing them. A lot more fun than stand-up, to be honest.
Whoa.
Stand-up's great. Okay. Stand-up's great, but it's only like great while you're doing it. Yeah. The sketches, it's like it's fun filming it, it's fun editing it, you know, the whole thing. It's a great day.
Stand-up, you are on blast. Get your act together, stand-up, and yeah, maybe one day you'll be funny as sketch.
Then we had The House on 7 points, but out in front on 9 points, swooping into the lead. Wow. It's Alexi Toliopoulos.
I actually felt pride when you said my name that loud and strangely. I felt really a lot of pride in that announcement. Yeah. It did feel like victory to me in that exact moment. Wow.
That is the prize. You get your name said strangely and loud. Yeah.
Wow.
Lex, people can still see your smash hit YouTube series, I believe.
Yes, you are still allowed to watch Finding Jesus. Sure, the early buzz is over, but why don't you try and get it into your system now? Finding Jesus is an investigative documentary series where Cameron James and I solve one of the internet's greatest unsolved mysteries. So it's no longer an unsolved mystery. We did solve it. We are heroes. We are geniuses.
And it follows on from a couple of great podcast series of a similar nature, Finding Drago and Finding Forrester.
No.
I knew that was wrong as soon as I started saying
that
it.
That is a movie starring Sean Connery where he says, "You're the dog now, man."
Wait, isn't the other way around?
Or is you're the man now, dog. Yeah, excuse me. Yeah. Well, that's my version. Yeah. He does say that in Finding Desperado.
All right. And thank you so much for joining us. I should say people can also see me at the Melbourne Comedy Festival coming up and the Adelaide Fringe, my show Ding. MattSureComedy.com has details. And like Jack, I've got an hour of comedy up online, and you can find that. I'll put a link to both of them in the show notes if I remember. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, you two. Anything else you need to tell people before we go?
No, not at all. That was fun. Thank you for having me on.
No worries. Hopefully you can come back sometime soon.
Yes. Love to. Just to pass my regards on to Senior Cube and his family.
Oh, yes.
I should also say we're doing a live Who Knew It, this podcast, on the 9th of April in Melbourne, Easter Sunday, 2 p.m. in the Arvo, and you can get tickets now. Should be a link in the show notes set too. Thanks so much for joining us.
If it becomes a fan favorite, I'm willing to appear as a Slippery Jack Parrot, if the fans demand it. Yeah.
Well, obviously, tweet us, tag Jack in. You're on Twitter.
Yeah.
So tag us in and
tag me. Tag me as well, guys. Don't leave me out.
It's just
don't
nice getting
me.
A notification.
What kind of barrier are we leaving here? 3 tweets and 10 tweets. It needs to be.
I think it's
100 tweets.
Yeah.
All right.
And then it will be legally changed.
Okay. So we need 100 of you to...
a judge will be ruling on the matter on 100 tweets.
I'm already regretting this in a big, big way.
So, yeah, thanks so much for listening. Tell your friends if you think they might enjoy it. Give us a 5-star review if you have the chance. And you do have the chance, I should say.
Please take that chance, please.
Cheers for tuning in to Who Knew with Matt Stewart. And now that you know it, I've been Matt Stewart. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.